Welcome to One Poem Only. I'm Maggie Devers. On Sundays, we do things a little differently. Instead of just one poem, today I'll read all the poems from the past week. A quiet recap, a second listen, or maybe a first chance to catch what you missed. And at the end, I'll share one new poem to carry us into the week ahead. So settle in, and let's revisit this week in verse. And then, something fresh to close. The Anatomy of a Queer Body by Gokul Prabhu. I see death, perched at my window. Sometimes, they even sit on the edge of the bed. Death is my friend now. I am often tempted to draw them into a kiss. They no longer hold a scythe, and are no longer dressed in a cape. They dress like my ex. Shabby t-shirt, graying jeans, and sneakers. Or whatever those shoes are called in their world. We have a conversation sometimes, or they just watch over me as I sleep. I am often tempted to join them on their journey back to their land. But I think, for now, I shall stay. I hear the cuss words from the neighbor boy as I pass by. Chukka, he spat, because I was not like him, looking for pussy constantly to stick his dick into. My existence used to be a crime. But even after the law has changed, I don't expect acceptance. What a joke. I am craving a good, appreciating word. But I am only disappointed. I am not even hurt anymore. Cuss words have become part of my hearing system, the language used to construct my body. I smell the judgment and the disappointment of my parents as I enter the hall. It stinks of their silence on my sexuality. It doesn't exist. It will disappear if they deny it. I will become normal again. I just need to see the Baba, sit in a puja, eat the medicines that will rip it out of me. Or, oh, they can also beat it out of me, because I can smell a conspiracy that ends with me being straight or married to some girl. The smells of love and trust have been overpowered by the stink of hate and distrust. But at least, I have the privilege to be able to walk out. I taste, unwillingly, the cum of a guy I am not even interested in. It has been forced into my mouth, but I don't say anything. My standards have lowered. Is it problematic to have standards? I don't know. My type of guy is way out of my league, because my body type doesn't cut it for them. I am, as they call it, the cunt for everyone, even for the bored of girls want something tighter, cis-straights to use, whether I like it or not. Love is out of the window. I have lost hope. The fear of not having a future together, unless you can afford to flee to another country. I might be able to, someday. If I am still alive till then. I touch the knife, lightly running my finger along the edge. It's sharp enough. I can do it, really. No one will miss me. The neighbor boy or my disappointed parents. The peeps who use my cunt will find another the next day. My friends will hopefully understand. I am tired, and I want to go to sleep and experience my body like I used to. But I know, even after I am gone, my body is death's best friend, constructed by cuss words and disappointment and fear, the template of the queer body. Raindrops by Kunjal Saraswat. Raindrops shine under warm lights. I notice it for the first time as I sit here. 2 hours deep into this night with the rain. Well, not just the rain. It brings its companions, thunder, lightning, showers, and storms. Tonight, it's a stormy rain. The wind is wild, and the glass of my balcony shutters under its weight. I sip my coffee and keep penning my poetry. This one is about sorrow, about giving up, about the reality of life death. Behind me, the music swells. The rain's pattering grows louder, and the glass keeps trembling. My window is not strong enough to protect me. It doesn't know that I write what I accept in life. I'm a writer. I don't need protection. A simple hole in the ground is enough for my sleep. The trembling stops. A smile creeps onto my face, as if I know what comes next. The glass shatters. Large shards fly toward me, pricking my legs one after another until the whole pain is embedded in my flesh. Still, my pen glides smoothly across the page. My coffee is still warm enough to drink. I'm vulnerable now, to the storm, to the ache, lying here, wrapped in warm lights, penning my poetry and having coffee with large pricks embedded in my flesh. I feel dizzy as blood flows down my beige sofa. The stain will last forever. As I reach the final line, my pen gives out. No more ink. And I do what any writer would do. Leave behind a masterpiece. I grab my ink pot, take a feather, and dip it into my soaking blood. If the stain remains, let it mark my diary too. I finish my poem. The last line reads, "For as long as it takes, I shall wait for my beloved, my demise, with a smile." The feather slips from my lazy hand, and as I shut my eyes, I notice the rain again, and for the first time, I realize raindrops shine under warm lights. A Boy Moose Ate My Tulips by Aaron DeVore. I discovered marbles and obsidian buried in my garden next to the worms after a moose ate my tulips. Of course it was a boy moose, someone joked with me. I tried not to wake my daughters, scaring him away. They woke anyways. Irony is never lost on poets. My daughters have ears and eyes and hearts of their own. They would have seen the evidence in the morning. Those tulips were a gift from Mother Earth, meant for my pleasure. The flowers that came to me in a dream, after I turned my back on the house, meant to turn us from innocent and sweet to victors. Sometimes I still dream about eating strawberries, during a time I could pretend Alaskan fruit has a taste. The tulips were a gift, and I blamed nature for taking them from me. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Scripture gets just enough right, we could forget to dig deeper. The moose was just doing what moose do, and had he not consumed what I perceived as mine, would I have let the feathers guide me to God? A boy moose ate my tulips and I was pissed, as if divine gifts are mine alone, as if I could expect him to be anything other than who and what he is. As if God didn't want me elbow deep in dirt, listening to their question. What do you want to plant? Girl, can you hear me? Put your face to the earth, feel me, and ask yourself if just anything pretty deserves to be buried deep inside your home's fertile ground. The tulips, God, they were beautiful, and they picked me, but the moose, in all of his immature, adolescent, volatile, and majestic nature, freed me from my attachment to pretty things that just so happened to be there. The moose released me from all that tied me to roots that were never mine to begin with, freed me to get dirt under my nails and discovered buried treasure, to weed the roots that would no longer strangle all I was planting. I prayed to co-create, which means getting my hands dirty. Loneliness is a Strange Dopamine by Dipanwita Day. Loneliness is a strange dopamine. Slowly, steadily, it consumes existence, Under its spell, it traps, strangulates, murders, and extinguishes. The desperate try to defeat it, unleashing the invisible chain around the collarbones. Feels like a gravitational force pushing into the darkness of the unseen. Solitude devours the ultimate version of yourself, the despondency of never being discovered, never being heard, never feeling the warmth of a beloved's touch, evaporates into the captivation. Loneliness is a strange dopamine that gradually erases felicity. You let it consume, let it burn. The desperation is robbed. It feels dreamy, forever in slumber. It doesn't differentiate, manipulates the foul play with peace. It paints hollowness with serenity, makes silence your native tongue, shadows your permanent companion, darkens your inescapable attire. You begin to forget you were once alive, how hope sounded, how touch once anchored you to the trembling reality of being alive. And so, you exist, half forgotten by your own soul, where even the mirror sighs at the ghosts staring back. Ode to the Familiar Strangers by Yara Tok. Like a wave crashing down on shore to then melt back into the ocean, I wonder if I too must break to recollect myself in my mother's embrace. Do droplets of rain miss being a wave? Will I ever miss being her child? Where does an unstoppable river go, once every ocean has run dry? And what of the lake with no mother to run to? What of the waterfall with no arms to fall back into? Can they call the ocean anything but a stranger? Their beginning, perhaps, but not their future. Can I be one's child and yet my own person? A freshwater lake and still of the ocean. I was born into the world as a stranger's crafted goods, a sweet summer tree's sweet summer fruit. Yet I feel like a lemon in a vineyard, a sour flavor that smells of winter. And I love myself of citrus and fire. But I wonder if my mother would recognize this stranger. Fernando by Kiana Aguila Labra. 2011. Fernando was where we danced with our heels above the sand. A 16-hour flight with jet lag as we licked the 6 a.m. sun. This is where it rises, where he rises. 6 hours before the mysterious Fernando. An hour acquainted with Fernando, your chin raised proudly. I did not understand it then, nor did I care. There was only us and our hands and this big house. Buko juice and lechon, and mouths only in jovial activity. I married my toes into this land of his, and smiled directly at this sun. 2006. Fernando was my ate's go-to karaoke song. She, 16, too young for ABBA, never been in love, yet she sang heartbroken. She sang polished. She sang as if to say, "Here we are, my love. How did we make it, Fernando?" Bugles and rifles and old men with gray hair flooded my imagination. "Fernando, Fernando." I was sure Ate cried the first time she sang Fernando. I didn't know I was clutching my chest until I did. 2018. The same chin once upturned and proud is now drooping. His whiskers are no longer brown. His arms know only chairs from the kitchen to the recliner where he sleeps. I ask him where he's from, Fernando. I beg him to remember the shade and humidity. He is slower to respond, his eyes wide, wanting for rest. But I'm not ready to let go. I plead with him to come back to San Fernando, Cebu. 2021. And he is gone. One hands me a tissue. Another says it's not about what we deserve, but what of Fernando. San Fernando, where there are ferns in the dirt road, Where is the car sickness of white van and linked arms? Where is the orange laughter? Close your eyes, Fernando. Open your eyes, Fernando. I spell Fernando with my finger onto palm. There are no saints. I can't remember if I breathed. I whisper Fernando as they lower him into the ground. Something Nice for Myself by Maggie Devers. New clogs, soft pink suede baby, the stack of pictures waiting to be hung, leaning against the wall, staring at me like they have for a year since we moved in. I change them around occasionally, inspired by a new blank place where they will be most at home, but I haven't been able to decide yet exactly where they need to go. I think I'm waiting for them to tell me. They know. They know. So maybe I'll cross it off my to-do list since it's really already done, and wait for that moment of inspiration to put the hammer in my hand, pencil in my hair, and count out the inches from the floor. It will make more sense when they're on the wall. A picture always does, and art always does. Art always does, but a part of me likes to live in that place between making sense and not, being real and not. Where anything can happen, especially if I'm wearing pink suede clogs. If you'd like to read more poetry by me, my book, For My Daughter, is out now. Thank you for listening, poetry lover. Come back tomorrow. The curtain rises again.